Chapter 3. Dr. Jekyll's Will. Usually Mr. Utterson was in good spirits after his Sunday walk with his cousin. He enjoyed the sunny nature of the younger man, as well as his fresh opinions. But tonight, Utterson was somber. He ate his dinner without enjoyment, causing his cook to wonder if she had undercooked the beef. As soon as he finished his meal, the lawyer took a candle and went to his study. There, he opened his safe and took out a document. The envelope read, "Dr. Jekyll's Will." The will was handwritten by the respected doctor himself, because Utterson had refused to let the will be drafted by his clerk. He had been too shocked by its contents when Jekyll first approached him, and he was still shocked. For friendship's sake only, he had consented to be the guardian of the will, and to present it to the courts if it became necessary to do so. With a sigh, the lawyer put on his spectacles and sat down to read once more the puzzling contents of the will insisted on by Jekyll. The first part could perhaps be acceptable, for a lawyer cannot dictate to whom a client should leave his money. This part provided that in the event of Jekyll's death, all his possessions were to pass into the hands of his friend and benefactor, Edward Hyde. But the second part did not make any sense to Utterson. It specified that in case of the doctor's disappearance or unexplained absence for any period exceeding 3 calendar months, Edward Hyde should step into Henry Jekyll's shoes without further delay and be free from any obligation beyond the payment of a few small sums of money to the members of the doctor's household staff. Mr. Utterson had never heard of such an arrangement, and he had practiced law for close to 40 years. And tonight brought a new burden as he read the familiar pages. Tonight, he learned something of the character of this Edward Hyde. Before, Hyde had just been a name in the will, but now he had become an actual living being. A fiend. Utterson replaced the will in his safe, wishing he could do something about the fanciful provisions Jekyll had made. "Disappearance, indeed," muttered the lawyer. Richard's suggestion of blackmail came to his mind, and he wondered if that could be true. Is there some disgrace in store for Henry Jekyll that will force him to disappear? He asked himself. Because Jekyll was an old friend, as well as a client, Utterson was quite upset by the story Richard had told him that morning. "Perhaps Lanyon can give me some insight into Henry's behavior," he decided. Hasty Lanyon had been the third member of their trio at college. Jekyll, Lanyon, and Utterson, roommates and close friends. Lanyon was now a celebrated doctor. Utterson blew out his candle and called to a servant for his overcoat. Then he walked the short distance to Lanyon's big house in Cavendish Square. Dr. Lanyon was still at the dinner table, sitting alone over his wine. He was delighted to see Utterson, and in his boisterous manner made him very welcome. Such liveliness in anyone else would have irritated a man as quiet as Utterson. But this friendship had been formed so long ago that the hearty, white-haired medical man was the one person Utterson trusted and liked above all other people. The lawyer accepted a glass of wine from his friend and settled into a comfortable chair. "I suppose, Lanyon, that you and I must be the two oldest friends that Henry Jekyll has," began Utterson.
"I wish the friends were younger," said Lanyon with a laugh. "But what of that? I see little of Jekyll now."
"Indeed?" said Utterson, surprised. "I thought you two were especially close, since you are both medical men."
"We were," replied Lanyon. "But for almost 10 years, Jekyll has become more and more fanciful. Too much so for me. He began to go wrong. Wrong in mind."
Utterson sipped his wine, his uneasy feeling still with him. "How do you mean, fanciful?" he asked. Lanyon suddenly lost his good mood.
"Such unscientific nonsense he bothers with," he exploded. "No friendship could withstand it."
Instantly Utterson was relieved, and he thought to himself, "Ah, they have differed on some point of science. There has been no unsavory personal reason to turn Lanyon against Jekyll." but wishing to make sure of his conclusion, Utterson waited until Lanyon had had some more wine to help him regain his composure. Then he ventured the question he had come to ask. "Did you ever come across a good friend of Jekyll's? One Edward Hyde?" he asked.
"Hyde?"
repeated Lanyon.
"No, never heard of him. After my time, I guess."
Utterson was somewhat calmed that no scandal had reached Lanyon's ears, so he finished his wine and left. He could not know. This was the last time he would see his old friend Lanyon healthy, smiling, and able to bid him a cheery good night.